least at this level, the latter part of his life. See the ever living to make him a social tree. And one more thing, would you lift your hands and pray to the Father for today? Thank you, and you may be seated. This came to me this fall when I was here in bed about a week before Easter. And I was just meditating and thinking about what I would preach Easter morning. Well, we had such a wonderful revival where the Danny preached Easter Sunday morning alone. Tremendous message of ours. So I come to you with my thoughts. Because when we think of resurrection, Easter, we think that he lives, Christ Jesus lives. And so we base most things on that special day when the world remembers his resurrection is being based on the day. The gospel is called the good news. That is good news. At Christmas, we remember that God gave his son. But this kind of stood out to me, that he ever lived. Now, Paul speaks of this about his resurrection in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. I'm glad that we have this great assurance. But in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, that Christ did come and high priest, of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The Son of Man is come to seek and save those who are lost. He had to be born. He had to die. The scripture tells us, if Christ is not risen, then no faith is in vain. We have to have this. People will show up at Easter. They'll show up at Christmas. And they're not going to show up at any other time. Because his birth and his resurrection, it means something even in religion. They don't spend very much time the rest of the year. It's like, well, I show up to remember his birth. I show up to remember his death. But that's kind of all there is to it. I want to preach to you this morning that Jesus is alive. He is alive forevermore. And there is a reason that he is alive. It has as much to do with his ministry as when he was born of the Virgin. It has as much to do with his ministry when God raised him from the dead. Because it is a continuing ministry of Jesus Christ that he ever lived to make intercession for me and you. Thank God that he was born. Thank God that he died for my redemption, raised for my justification. But I thank God that he is alive forevermore. And he is now at the right hand of God, and his ministry is going on as much at the right hand of God as it was in the manger, as it was in the grave. There is yet this great work that he must do. involvement in ministry is not a sign to these ladies. I don't know how much you know this, but in all reality, Easter is set by a man according to the moon. You know that? It's an old official day. Man puts that on the calendar due to the phase of the moon. And if that's what they want to do, it, God's never killed them for doing it, so I guess that's all right. But that's not how we remember it. That's not how we celebrate it. That's not when we get it attention. I can tell you the songs that we're going to sing on Easter. I can tell you the songs we're going to sing at Christmas. For the most part, that's the only day of the year that we sing. Jesus, the light of the world, is as good in June as it is in December. He lives his appropriate in February as much as it is at some phase of the moon. My God is alive. He's not alive in sin. He is alive. He is forevermore alive. He is the intercessor. Now, I want to go over some of this with you. If you know what an intercessor is, it is someone who mediates between two contending parties. The devil has voted for you, and God has voted for you. The devil comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you. Jesus came that you may have life. The devil will try to destroy your reputation, your testimony, your confidence. Jesus will draw you. He's not going to act like the devil. I know this one thing, that I do not choose God, He chose me. But I know that in that choosing, there is a life that I must live. And if I'm going to live that life, I'm going to face the world, the flesh, and the devil. I know I'm going to face his lies. I know I'm going to face his battles. So I need someone to stand between the testimonies that live my life. Whoever liveth to make intercession, I can tell you right now what Jesus is doing. He is the one that is pleading for mercy. He is pleading for mercy. I'm up against a battle. If all that Jesus was that one or two special days a year, that would be wonderful. But it's in the still of the night. It's in the crisis of my life. It's in the brokenness of my heart. It's when the devil whispers in my ear. It's when those thoughts come in my mind. I'm not able to stand in that place for myself. I'm not able to overcome all of that within my own power. I need a power that's greater than mine. Jesus, this intercessor, says, I have all power in heaven and in earth, and it's He that is making intercession for us right now. Amen. Have you ever visited Washington, D.C.? I've always said it was my favorite city. I don't have a clue what he's trying to do here. I never really think about it. The only thing I miss is the Lord's Washington. I'm not doing it. Treasure. Listen to me. Treasure. And I would love to go through that. Smithsonian. Some people say they want to go to Smithsonian. They just go into another room. I've seen the book down. I've seen Charles Lindbergh Chaplin. Everything that they have displayed. We had a great friend that drove a taxi in Washington, D.C. He would pick us up, drop us off at the site, go do his business, come back and pick us up. One year, I told my dad, he said, they would like to take him to Washington. How long ago was that? No, no. We finally got him to go. For some reason, out of all the tourists in that White House, that Secret Service guy attached to my dad. When my dad died, when I was dead, the desire was that me and Dad would take him back to Washington, D.C. I said, oh, that's the same thing. That when you look at that White House, I've never been in the Oval Office, but I've been in special places that other people don't get to go. There is no way that I can comprehend the history, the decisions that have been made in that one building. Wars, peace, policies. It's amazing. But when I begin to think about what's going on in heaven right now, there is nothing to compare with that. There is an adversary. The devil, you remember the devil, how he wanted to begin to accuse Joshua before God? The devil is an accuser. He'll go before God with your name, with your habits, with your issues, with your life, and he will accuse you before God. I'm glad that our intercessor is full of mercy. I'm glad that he's full of mercy. Not willing that any would perish, but that every man would come to life. We all understand this, that we have salvation. We have victory. And we know what it is to live in the fullness of that. But we also, everyone else, know what the struggle is against the flesh, against sin, against satanic powers. We are involved in a struggle. And we will be until Jesus comes. If Jesus was not interceding for you and I, we would be in a mess. You know why? He knows what we're up against. He knows that we need strength. He knows that we need help. He knows that we need mercy in order to continue to live for him. So what does he do? He ever lives to make intercession. I love the songs that we sing. At least he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. There's a lot of people when they sing with them what I am. He doesn't agree. But again, just like we had here all night, a time of brokenness, weeping, worshiping, praising God. That's what it's all about, and that's the way that it should be all the time in our lives. I wish to look at this. I actually got kind of going in a different direction when I was considering all of this. I looked into him high priest. I got to study on the breastplate, which I'm not going to bring any of that out in this passage today. But I got to thinking about the high priest in the Old Testament. They had to make sacrifices. They had to offer blood. They had to build altars. But then I began to think, I preached a message in Arkansas when I was still singing. I preached a message from the book of Ezekiel. I really don't know that I've ever preached one again. But Ezekiel said he began to dig in the wall. If you're familiar with the story. When he dug in and got on the inside of where everything was, he fell into corruption. And you know who was first in the corruption? The priest. I began to think about that. If you went to a man, a priest, and you said, I want you to pray for me. I need some help. But I asked, is there a possibility, though he was a priest, that he was no longer than you? Had a man, a preacher in his office, say something to me one time, and I've never said, I can remember the expression of his voice. He said, Pastor, I am a president in this section. Preachers come to me all the time. that could touch me, that talked to me. And he said, they talked to me of the morals, of the failings, of the trials, their sins. I just listened to them. It was probably less than a year later, a man that had come to me with his failure. We had prayed and I'd never mentioned it even to my wife. He told me, he said, Brother Thomas, I want to tell you, I went to my president and confessed everything of my life. But he said, my presbyter was caught in the act of adultery. He said, I went to that man, and that man was living his best. I don't know the condition of all of these men that we would go to, but they all knew. When you went to that place, I don't know how God handled all that. I don't know that. But let's talk about prayer. We'll come back to that. I preached for a man one time that told me, never ask for people to pray for you. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You need prayer, whether you realize it or not. Paul, this great apostle of God Almighty, writing to those Romans, said, I beseech you, go look up the word beseech, the strength and the power and the urgency, the one it means. I beg you to pray for me. I need prayer no more than I can comprehend what went on in that White House. I can't comprehend what's going on right now. There's a throne, the Father, and his right hand, and his right hand is our intercessor. Whoever liveth to make intercession and prayer for us when we're weak, when they sin, when they're riches, whatever they are. I'm here in Beaumont, Texas. Some that are watching us are in Mississippi and in Maine. They're in other places. But where they are, the same thing is going on. That Jesus ever lived to make intercession for you, your weaknesses, your troubles, your trials. We have to strive and pray. Do you hear me? Well, I come to this. Let me say one more thing. Have you ever talked to a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a preacher, and while you're talking to him, you're thinking in your mind, he's not hearing me. I'm sort of being guilty. He's not paying me any attention. Maybe he listens, but the thought is in your mind. He doesn't know what I'm up against. He doesn't understand it. Maybe he doesn't care. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace and may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's him. That's that high priest who said, I suffered everything that you suffered, yet without sin. He said, I was tempted in every way that you're tempted, yet without sin. Come boldly to the throne of suffering. He's alive. Somebody said he's alive. He's alive forevermore. And while we're here, he's there before the Father, making intercession for us. There is something about this new life that we have in Christ. Toward my grace, you pray that you're saved, right? Since you gave your life to Jesus, has there ever been a time in your life where you needed grace? has there ever been a time in your life when you needed Christ? We've all heard this said so many times. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. Everyone has needed grace. We understand that in this life, we're not perfected. Who is the giver of grace? If all we did was come and be born, or all we did was come and die and be raised, I'd be wonderful. But I'm in this man. I'm in this body of Christ. In the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, you find there are things that I would not do, and I do it. There are things I do not want to do, I do it. It happens. Now there's this dispute. Actually, rather, Paul was saying when he wrote that, I believe that in this sense, we all battle the same devil. We don't give him to him and don't succumb to him, but I need grace. I need mercy. And God is the giver whenever we're in trouble. I will ask you, do you think you deserve any help in this life? Do you think you deserve it? The works of this body, this flesh, only deserves death, punishment. That's all. So how is it that when there is something that I'm in trouble, how is it that I get out of that trouble? Can I manipulate my way out? Can I buy my way out? If you're in certain troubles, there's only one way out, and that is by grace and by mercy. And if He is not praying for you, you will not have the availability. You will not have the availability. Every time we have trouble, it's because we've done something to cause it. But I believe I can say this truthfully. We still deserve help from God because you are not praying for Him. There are some people in this room, I'm sure, that believe I'm perfect. They believe that they can do whatever they want to do and be awesome. I believe that there are people in this room that believe whatever they think is right, they may even be able to pull this picture. You've heard the old story. I've taken a couple of verses and put them together. Jesus went up to heaven himself. There's another scripture that says to do the opposite. Take those two scriptures, put them together, go commit suicide. Let me tell you that in this lesson, not only is praying for me, but when I get scripturally, biblically off, He will pray the Father. If they stay on that path, they're going down. I'm praying for them. They're my children. I died for them. I saved them. They don't recognize the devil and what he's doing. So he began to intercede before the Father. Something will happen. The word kind of starts to wake. How did I ever get to that place? How did I ever get there? Yes, we may deserve some help, but the basis of that help is the grace of God. I don't know if you agree with me, but what I believe one thing is that Jesus, I know, He knows what is the favor and the gift of God. In this pulpit, many years ago, some of you know what I'm talking about, but I preach. I was preaching on Sunday morning. I think Brother Pendleton was my pastor. But I just used an example. You know, Brother Walt said, when he preached, he sent rain with you. You know, like the man gets on his horse and rides up and down the directions at the same time. Brother Matt Knight said, if he sticks his hand up, I'm going to shoot it. I said something. Just that just off the point. Never thought about it in my life. I said, you may think it's all right for you to go watch the game on Sunday, but I wouldn't want Jesus to come if I'm not on the water ski. I was going to come with me. She said, I would just say that. She's getting her dress. She said, I can go in the river and walk ski on the Sunday if I want to, and it's none of your business. Turn around and walk. There's a time and a place for everything. But the time that's been set for the church to come together, I think that's the time we should be. I won't be talking about the water ski, I don't know if you want to ski. Is there a possibility God was trying to talk to me? Was there a possibility? Brother Clinton put it this way. When the church comes together, when we come together as a church, we're here to fight hell, death, and the grave. And if you're not here, you're a vote for them to have to take it. That's what he said. Yes, we need intercession. Yes, we need prayer. Like Paul said, pray for me. Jesus said, I pray for you. But here's where the great fight comes in. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. My grace is sufficient for you. This blessed my life. Because I feel God. I absolutely have it to God. You say, God doesn't want you to have that man. He tells me that's the beginning of wisdom. That man or woman tests themselves in their eyes. Be sure to have them in choice. That's what it's going to be in the trouble. Right? This grace and mercy that we have because of his miracle, his death, and resurrection is not something that we needed one time, five times. We need it all the time, every day. I would hate to think that we were doing something for me, and I don't care. When you're not doing it, a week before Easter, early in the morning, it's going on all night, people say, the morning is not going on, but when I woke up, it's coming. You ever live to make it yourself. In this room, you may have sinners, you may have backsliders, you may have people that are getting out of favor with the Lord. Just like Paul told the Romans, you need somebody to pray for you. I need somebody to pray for me. And while we're here, Jesus is praying for you tonight, now. And in other words, he's not on the call. It's not in the tomb. It is the Father's right hand. Alive and praying for you and for me. If we were ready, the Father will answer that prayer. Of his blood. Would you bow your heads with me today, please?